Welcome to a new episode of the India Independent Films Podcast. This is Rahul Desai, film critic for Film Companion. I have with me today Ishita Sengupta, film critic for OTT Play. There's no Uday today because we are going to be discussing a Hindi web show, and Uday doesn't watch a lot of those. So it's going to be me and Ishita discussing the big web show of the week and of the month, arguably. Made in Heaven Season 2. So a little bit of history about the show. It's made by, it's created by Zoya Akhtar and Reema. It's Amazon Prime show. This time, it's there are four directors again: Nitya Mehra, Zoya, Alankrita, actually five, Reema, and Neeraj Ghewan is the new addition. So this is 4 years after the first season, and as we know, the first season was way before the pandemic. It was very popular when it hit the. Hit Amazon, one of their first originals and one of the very widely acclaimed originals in back in 2019, which was the golden for web shows. Just a little bit about the show before we get into Made in Heaven Season 2. We are going to be discussing spoilers as well, though ideally it's not the sort of show that has spoilers. Just going to be discussing episodes and our feelings about it. As it turns out, both of us were, I think, in the minority this time. I'm not sure. I haven't read a lot of reviews, but both Ishita and me were underwhelmed by this season. We did end up watching season one last week itself, so it feels like we watched, 20 episodes in one go. But we could definitely see the demarcation between the two seasons in terms of quality and storytelling. So as we know, it's about two wedding planners, two best friends named Tara and Karan. Karan is gay. Tara is going through a messy divorce right now with Adil, who she separated at the end of the last season with. Adil's having an affair with her ex-best friend. So the wedding agency is now basically owned one-third by Johar, who's a Vijay Raj character. We see a little more of his domestic life this time because his wife becomes one of the primary characters, played by Mona Singh. Her name is Bulbul. Another addition this season is also a trans woman who's the new production head of the agency. Her name is Meher. Again, we follow even Kabir, who's the in-house videographer, and Jazz, who is who's the newest employee, and both of them having a thing this time. There are seven episodes this time. All of them are about 70 minutes or 75 minutes long. It's quite long. It's quite a big swing in that sense. It reminded me of what Ted Lasso was doing in its last season. As the format goes, it's basically every episode has a new upper class wedding in Delhi, which is organized by the wedding planners, and we see their personal lives intersecting with the weddings, with the situation, and sort of feeding off each other, their personal and professional lives. The format is pretty much the same. There are, of course, at least two episodes have two weddings this time. So there's a lot crammed into each of the episodes. We will be discussing some of them in detail. Ishita, just run me through your experience of this season, because we just watched the previous season too. And we quite liked it the second time as well. It was very enjoyable. We watched it. It was a mealtime watch for us doing our homework before season two. Got totally up to speed with the characters and their lives. And the events of this season is only 6 months fictionally after the last season. So it helped in that sense. But just run me through where the show sort of fell off the deep end for you this time.
Hi. I think for a show like Made in Heaven, I wrote that in my review as well, that there's a lot which rides on the novelty aspect of it. Obviously, back in 2019, it was also one of the, first long-form storytelling which was coming from India in a time, because we were also trying to understand the format. And I think what they did at that time was bring characters to the fore which refuse to be slotted into neat categories, So obviously the two wedding planners, the Shobhita and
Arjun character,
yes, Karan Mehra and Tara Khanna. So they all have their, they're the outsiders in the wedding, they are the wedding planners who lend a very outsider perspective to something as celebrated, as sanitized as Indian Wedding. And that worked a lot in the first season. Obviously, we also got to know about how everything is not as hunky-dory as it looks, because obviously Indian Wedding is a thing. But I think coming to the second season, that factor was already gone. So we already knew that this is what Made in Heaven is about. So I think it was left to the characters, you know, to pull it through. And I feel like pretty much in the first episode itself, I felt like something was off. And for those who have watched it, for those who haven't, the first one, if I'm not wrong, was directed by Nitya Mehra. Yeah. And it's basically about a bride who is who has a like complex about her dark skin tone. And you get that bit that, you know, obviously all the season one was about this, you know, about the insecurities and everything. But the neatness with which they wrap up the episode, which basically ends with her sitting in a Sabyasachi bridal photo shoot. It was, for me, it was no different from an Instagram reel, you know. So I think that that sense of performative wokeness is what was very evident in that episode. Obviously, it was not also the most well-made episode. And as it as the season progressed, saving one episode, obviously, it progressively got... it just kept getting on my nerves, if to be honest. What about you? Was there a particular point where you felt...
No, I think it's around the same time, because in the first episode, I had a feeling things were not the same, or maybe... I don't know what exactly changed since the first season, because the as we noticed, you know, the elements are more or less the same, just the addition of a few character, few primary characters in the wedding agency. But yeah, I sort of, maybe it's the same thing as you said, the novelty is gone, the fatigue factor is set in, and you know that the thread that's connecting all the weddings is obviously very deliberately connected to the theme of the weddings, like the dark skinnier. You see at least every episode, you see at least one of the agency employees getting personally involved in their client's business, which after a while gets a bit repetitive. And in the first episode, when you see the bride sort of getting conscious about her skin and her family and his family sort of making her go through treatment, and, you know, like, and she's using that Instagram filter. Which is an irony, because that Instagram filter is exactly how this season also looks. You know, it feels like it's gone through that. And as soon as her fiance, the guy she's marrying, finds out about her her treatment, he loses his shit and he starts, I think he goes off on everyone, on her mother in the lobby. And he starts basically giving a lecture about how progressive they are and how he doesn't need shit like this. First of all the fiancés, all the men in this series were very vaguely cast. All of them had this very weird wooden way of speaking, almost like they were reading out what they needed to say to sound progressive and to sound like they are better than what we might have perceived them to be. So as soon as he went off on the mother, it felt like there was something wrong with the way he was speaking, with the way he was acting. And it did feel a little too designed compared to last season. Maybe it was the novelty that just wore off and we could immediately see through it. But it felt too simplistic. And the problem with a series, a social message series like this, which is of course packaged so well through the weddings, and it's a great concept, I still maintain. And I love the fact that the personal lives are so mined so deeply, especially Karan and Tara's. You know, like, they are very complex people. And I still believe they are some of the best... protagonists in Hindi television right now, but the problem is when you go after every episode looking for a theme and looking to deliberately connect the lives, it starts to get a little too artificial and too self-defeating, too manufactured. You know, unlike a film where you're seeing, say, Rocky or Rani, you know that there's only one problem, right? It's a generational sort of thing, and you know it's a cultural clash there. And you know, the same sort of formula works better in a feature film than in a series, where you run the risk of always talking down to your audience, and especially when you are progressive storytellers and writers like Zoya and Gang here, it can get a little too much. It can almost go into that virtue signaling space, even if the intent is good. Most of the time it feels like they've made a checklist of things. And And it does feel after a while too planned, which is very much like the weddings they do.
Yeah, I mean that talking down on us is something which really got me off the show, actually. And I think you realize it fairly early on that this is what the season two was doing, because what I really liked about season one, and even when I was revisiting it, I realized that how it really acknowledged and appreciated our intelligence, except of course the Shashank voiceover at the end. But if you just keep that aside, like the Vinay Pathak character, for instance, you know, he lent so much nuance to the storytelling, and the judgment was left on us that you decide what you want to think of such a man. You know, do you want to judge him? But I feel in this season, the makers had already decided and very carefully manicured on how they want us to feel for something and someone, you know. So, and that, as you said, like, you know, all like the characters also, like, I get your intent and that's great, but I'm sorry, but that's a low hanging fruit. You know, if your politics cannot be your merit, like I don't think that's how it should work. I mean, that's giving too much leeway. And also, as like, you know, it's interesting you brought up Rocky Rani, because I feel like what somehow worked against Made in Heaven also is that the first season was so good, and we are already familiar with the work of these filmmakers. We know what they are capable of. So much of liking Rocky Rani hinged on the fact that it was not like Karan Johar's previous work, you know. And so much of me not liking Made in Heaven is that it is, you know, I wish it was more like Zoya and Rima's previous work.
But
tell me something, which is there one episode where you thought that this is why it was floating on the surface? This is where you know, the season two somehow came together for you?
Yeah. First of all, that's a very well put point, because I think a lot of viewers or readers of reviews also tend to be like, you know, but you like the same film, basically, like you like Rocky Rani, which is more or less the same package, giving a progressive message and like sort of wrapped into this very woke and it's full of monologues towards the end. But as you said, you know, the context is so important. That film felt personal because you could see Karan Johar sort of showing the willingness to change his own filmography or challenge his own legacy. Here, as you said, I feel like Zoya and Reema and the rest, it just feels like we haven't held them to high enough standards. We need to do that, like, especially because we know what they're capable of. The other web series they co-created this year was Dahad, and it was totally out of the zone we might have expected, say, a Zoya and Reema series to come from. It was another Amazon series. I think both of us liked it quite a bit. There were flaws there too. There was a little bit of posturing there too through the Sonakshi Sinha female cop character. But it's just the environment and the understanding of the characters and the men in that series that was so well fleshed out that it was really hard to look past the very progressive and well-done politics of that series. But here, the thing is, there has to be more than that. There has to be, because if you're going to teach a lesson to your viewers every episode, then you don't have to show them time and again that, you know, every problem is possible to resolve. And that's condescending in a way. I think we discussed this earlier. It comes also from a space of entitlement where you think you can basically take the problems or different dimensions of North Indian living and Delhi and different discriminations, different, like, just to make a list of things they dealt with. The first episode was dark skin. The second episode was a supermodel marrying an abusive fiance, and he's a life coach. So it's basically been what lies beneath the surface, and he's physically abusive. The third one is basically Neelam's comeback with her husband, and it's a middle-aged sort of love story. The fourth one is a Bollywood destination wedding, which was, I think it was both of our favorite episodes, mostly because also I feel like it felt like something Zoya was very familiar with, Zoya and Reema. It felt like the world they were talking about was very familiar, and it was a little less heavy-handed than the other episodes. You know, the fifth one was about a very famous Dalit academic getting married, and it was also about about I think a woman going in for a second marriage and her son gets depressed because of that. So then there were two weddings per episode, you know, and then I think the sixth one was there was a lesbian ceremony, commitment ceremony, and there's a Muslim man getting going through his second wedding. All of them upper class weddings, basically. And the seventh one was the age gap one, which for me was the worst one. An older woman and a younger man getting married and her deciding to marry herself and letting him free, which was the thing is you need to really have a very you need to have more than a superficial understanding of each of these topics you're going to deal with if you've decided to deal with everything in a neat 60 minute or 70 minute package. And the package doesn't mean you have to come to a conclusion. And that's why I like the fact that in that second episode, they show that she decides to go ahead and marry the abusive husband anyway, the abusive man anyway. Even though in the end, they undo that by showing a newsflash that she's getting divorced with the guy. It reminded me of the episode in the first season where the Ludhiana girl decides to marry the guy, NRI guy, despite knowing he is impotent, you know. And she just, she's not really apologetic about it. She's like, this is what life is. I want to get away from India. And this is the compromise I'm willing to make. And it ends with, you know, really defeated faces in the Made in Heaven team. And the problem with this season is that they think that giving all the employees of Made in Heaven a sort of reason to be happy at the end of every episode through professional fulfillment to overcompensate for their personal flaws, I felt like they went a little too far here. Even though the concept is nice, where these broken people are looking for some kind of healing in other people by trying to heal them. But that doesn't mean you can actually give them the power to heal them. First of all, they were really very nosy as wedding planners. I don't think any Delhi families or Indian families for that matter would let them meddle in their business so often. And it happened too easily because there were lesser screen time devoted to the weddings and the planning. I felt like a lot of material was compressed into give the social messages and come to some kind of resolution at the end of every episode.
Yeah, no, I agree. And also for me, like what you said, that they were obviously like very issue-based wedding. And by the end, I think there were like four weddings in two episodes. So the fact that in the first season, the personal and the professional, or rather the private and the professional, they basically fed off each other. Here, there was I just couldn't find the space. Like there was no breathing space, I felt, because so much was crammed in the 70 episodes. And like I totally agree with the entitlement bit also. I feel like this the second season had a major savior complex. You know, I want to call it like, you know, the Bandra School of Filmmaking, where basically they feel that, you know, we are from South Bombay and they're all privileged and we are privileged and we see a problem and we will make it better. We will tell you how to think about it. But the fact of the matter also is that they are so privileged, for better or worse, that, you know, by the time the elevated position from where they see a problem does seem inconsequential. You know, so their treatment of it becomes very superficial. And that is why the fourth episode worked the way it did, because Zoya basically went back to her territory. This is the world she understands, you know, and she was talking and the best part about that episode also, for those who have watched it and for those who haven't, they bring back the Sarfaraz character from season one, which is Pulkit, and he's supposed to get married to another female superstar. And it's a very, very fun episode, not least because there's a Anurag Kashyap cameo where he basically comes with a broken leg because he's tripped on the red carpet.
In Cannes.
So.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can, but I think.
Okay. No, you can continue with your point.
So I feel like that bit worked very well, because there she was not looking for resolution and she was not even saying that, you know, like there was no savior complex, because I feel that it comes from the world Zoya belongs to, and she knows that there is no getting away from it. There is no getting away from sexism, the gender problems within the film circle. But when it comes to the other spaces, somehow all the filmmakers, they assume that they can solve the problem. you know, and because they so want to solve, I mean, they are so infused with the intent of solving the problem that the characters are reduced to Twitter bots.
Yeah.
You know, if you remember that episode where there's basically there are two women and Shivani Dandekar is one of them, and they're the queer women and they want to exchange vows. And, you know, her mother doesn't approve of it. And it takes just Shobhita to talk to her once. Imagine, it's a broken family. The parents don't keep in touch with her. And it takes one wedding planner to come hold the mother's hand and say that, you know, my best friend is also queer. And, you know, he had a difficult relationship with his mother because of this. And in the next moment, the mother turns around to the father and says, you don't have any right to speak to me and my daughter and tell us how we want to feel. And I'm like, am I reading, a Twitter thread at this moment? But didn't you feel that? Like, I couldn't get past that at all.
No, that's the same thing. And I mentioned that scene, I think, in my review also, where it was one of the many instances where all it took was one little nudge from either Tara or Karan or Meher or anyone else or Bulbul. And the fact that they were actually looking for cracks to... cracks in every relationship or in every wedding that they were handling, and then them sort of meddling into their business and then giving this one little maybe 2-minute chat with the people, either the parents or the bride or the groom, and that's all it took. An outsider's gaze to like reverse years and decades of prejudice and social conditioning, and that's really simplistic. You expect better. See, I mean, I know that you have to like get done with a theme every episode, but there are ways to do it. Like, you don't have to show that things change towards the end. You can show that humans are capable of changing, maybe, or you can show that humans are giving it a second thought, or you don't have to basically always juxtapose the very sort of sad personal lives of the primary characters against the fulfillment they get from healing people outside of it. And and that's what I saw time and again, you know, that it's of course in that episode with the two queer women, the way the mother just changes almost in like 2 minutes. I mean, one of the more irritating things for me, even though I thought I still thought like Mona Singh was gave quite a good performance as Bulbul, and her character made sense overall. I just thought that, and even though that little family bit of hers is written in nicely, that her son is basically one of three or four boys who are basically in a scandal involving a girl where they have allegedly molested her, and they have been suspended for that. And basically, he's one of four Delhi boys who we've seen news like this all the time on our social media handles in newspapers, where sort of Delhi boys cross the line, especially the rich ones. And he's one of the rich ones, and she's a conflicted mother. And the thing is, her being a conflicted mother is what is supposed to define her character, because she has a conscience and she's gotten out of an abusive marriage herself, and now she's married to a good man. But that conflict of being the boy's mother never really comes across, because the show is so intent on making her a spokesperson for the girl that nobody is talking about. The girl who gets molested, whose video goes viral, and who has to leave the city. The show wants her to be represented through Bulbul's character so badly that Bulbul never really comes across as anything more complex than her saying, but what about the girl? So she's telling all the other boys' parents, saying, you're forgetting about the girl, whenever they're having these meetings on and wondering how to save their children. It always feels like she's sort of a planted character in that sense, to give the audience a sort of sense of how you should feel about these situations and how Twitter tends to react to these situations. You can almost think, you can also almost imagine her speaking like a Twitter handle, like a very woke Twitter handle, saying, no, but let's talk about the girl. Let's forget about all the guys. And it just didn't come across as organic. And even Meher's character, even though it was a it was a good idea to include her in the series. I just think that a lot of her situations were very, very on the nose and superficial. Like when she meets her friends at her old friends at a bar and they make fun of her body or they make lewd comments on her body, it was too on the nose. You expect something a little more than that. And when they call her by her dead name, it felt like the scene's only intention was to educate viewers, saying, you know, you are never supposed to call a trans person by their dead name. That's all it wanted to tell the viewer, and that's how it got across. And even that scene, which really drove, I think, both of us off the edge, was I think in the episode about the Radhika Apte character, who's a Dalit woman who is getting married. And she's in a sort of face-off with her fiancé's parents about what ceremonies to have, because they want to have a Hindu ceremony. So she's like, okay, sure, then let's have a Dalit ceremony, a Buddhist ceremony, basically, so that both of us can have what we want and we are on equal grounds. But and when Shobhita's character then very absent-mindedly refers to her one wedding as the main wedding, saying, let's put the main ceremony there. And suddenly you see Meher's character jump on her, saying, what do you mean the main ceremony? You know what you're saying is wrong, right? And then there's Pantji, who's been the production assistant for the longest time, has no lines, but is there only for this scene, and makes some very, very passive-aggressive taunt to Tara about her entitlement to say something so politically incorrect, and they just leave the frame. It's just handled badly. Like I get that these things are supposed to be said and they are necessary, but as you said very rightly, I don't think the politics should define the quality of a series.
Yeah, I mean, I have serious grievance against the way the Meher character was treated, I feel, in the show. Because she seemed like a classic stand-in, as you said, of educating us. There is a bit where, I have told that to you before, I think when we were discussing that, where she's constantly on dating apps, you see, which was a nice inclusion to show that she, you know, her desires and everything. And then she meets this man. And they start making out in the car, and then he throws her off because obviously Delhi man. And then you see, like, the camera zooms out and you see she's lying wearing a short dress in a deserted street in Delhi. I have lived in Delhi. It's my nightmare to be left like that, you know. And the scene ends there. I don't even know how she went back. So if my problem with the show was that in its intent of inclusion, it also saw the characters for what they are. You know, that is why a trans woman became limited to a trans woman. Like, the whole point of that scene was to show what they go through. You know, not that what she will go through after this, because she's a person. You know, and also for the Mona Singh character, same. I mean, somehow I felt like it was true for even Shobhita's mother's character, who till the end remained the gold digger, in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, she kept saying, the daughter, you deserve better, but Zoya and Reema, you expect a fuller depiction. And I think what we, like, as you rightly said at the beginning of the podcast, that Tara remains such a compelling protagonist in the whole streaming space, is because you cannot just slot her down to one. She's so much, you know. And I think that is what was missing, the complexity, the nuance that we see in the two protagonists, in Karan, for instance. It's just missing in the rest. Like, I liked the way Shashank's character came to be as someone who is, like, you know, an upper class, you know, Delhi boy his blind spots, even though he tries to be, like, very woke.
Yeah.
I liked that bit, but I think it did not translate well into the other characters. Not enough for me to be invested for so long. And I think length is also my problem with the series, honestly. Yeah. Because it I felt the series never earned the 70 minutes. Like, I was not invested in it. The series could not make me invested. And also, I feel like, you know, for something which comes out of like a show like this, which obviously is produced by Zoya and Farhan, so you know that the outside intervention is very less. Whatever we see is exactly what they wanted to make. So that is why it also annoyed me that you literally had so much control to do this well.
Mm. Yeah, that's the thing. And when it does do, as you said, you know, when it does do the things well, it does them so well. Like the few inspiring moments across both seasons, even this season has a bunch of very well-written, well-acted moments. And when you see those moments, you're like, I wish the rest of the series followed this sort of, followed this kind of treatment at least, or at least had this kind of emotional intelligence. I love the way the two protagonists sort of their arc was treated again. You know, like Tara is basically both unlikable. She's both a victim and a perpetrator at once, you know, this time. She's trying to punish Adil by sort of bleeding him dry and taking his house from him because she's angry he cheated on her. But and at the same time, she's also sort of, you know, using the agency to atone for her sins outside because she knows that she's been a gold digger for the longest time. And she has no moral high ground because she was with Adil, you know, by some very dubious means herself, as was revealed in the first season. So that conflict of being both a good character, both a good person and a bad person was very, it was very complex. It was very nuanced and mature to have a protagonist like that, you know, irrespective of how Shobhita performed, which, you know, I'm not totally on board with, but it was a very well-written character, and the same can be said for Karan as well. Arjun Mathur, excellent actor across both seasons, but I loved his arc in this season. You know, having a dying parent who does not accept you and who you're estranged from, and then it sort of just sort of breaks away at you and throws you into this spiral of depression and substance abuse was very believable because he never thought, he always thought he was never good enough because of his mother totally rejected him and his mother refused to talk to him even on a deathbed, which is a very brutal and extreme thing to show in an Indian film or an Indian show. You know, it's every kid's nightmare, and they don't want their parents to go, no matter how regressive the parents are. No child want their parents to go angry and to leave them without closure. And that's exactly what happens to Karan in this. And he has some of the best moments in the series because of that. The way he grieves after the mother dies. And, you know, when his old friend and lover comes back. And it was a lovely scene where Vikrant Mase's character just tells him that, you know, I'm sorry, but she was a bitch. And you almost see, when you see sort of Arjun Mathur laughing while he was crying, that's excellent performance. And that's such a mature understanding of how grief sort of floods your body even when you don't like the person who's passed away. You are, whether you like it or not, related to that person. Okay? Saying you can love that person, but you don't have to like her. So these little moments give you an idea of what the series is at its best. And that's why when it doesn't measure up to it consistently, especially when it takes these slightly immature routes out or these shortcuts it takes through the weddings, that's what, you know, didn't really work. And I think we discussed this scene, the Radhika Apte scene as well, in that episode where there's this one connecting scene, even though everything happens really fast and she fights for her rights and she says all the right things, like it's almost like she's reading out a Twitter thread. There's this one scene where we see the human part of her, where despite being such a big public figure and gone all over the world to sort of talk about her experience and be very proud of her identity, she breaks down just before a wedding saying, have I gone too far? And, you know, her tears are just streaming out and she's talking to Tara. And just because she dared to ask for equal footing at her own wedding. And that self-doubt was so disarming. And it was such a perfect link for her character that it rescued that episode from becoming as preachy as the other episodes for me, you know. And there were not enough links like that. There were not enough sort of little moments like that, that consistently made the series like it was in the first season. You know, like a good balance of, say, teaching and a good balance of awareness of the environment around you. And you know, that's what comes across with Shashank Arora's voiceover, the Kabir voiceover again, of course, is as annoying. Of course, when we saw the first season, we realized how annoying it was again. But this time they try to give it context by making him like, by going meta and saying your Kabir's character is actually commissioned by Amazon Prime to make a docu-series about weddings, which is why the viewer is supposed to treat the voiceover as his addition as a filmmaker. But that doesn't save the fact that it's very pretentious and very shallow. And it actually reveals what the series is this time, you know, on the surface compared to, say, last time.
Yeah, I think that just to speak first, that Radhika Apte, scene in the episode, it was the moment for me from the series. I feel it was just such a great scene, and as you said, it redeemed the episode, even though the brother obviously has a change of heart and comes back as usual. And also, you know, because she was speaking from a space of privilege, she doesn't live in India, and her brother rightfully said that, you know, if you have a Buddhist wedding, I will be forced to come out. And I live in India, and it was an absolutely fair point to make. And after that, the fact that she breaks down and says, "Have I gone too far?" It was the one of the most unvarnished moments of honesty I watched in the show. And to speak of Arjun Mathur, I feel his performance was my most favorite. I also did not like Shobhita's portrayal that much. I got it that, you know, she was more humanized this time. She was more likable this time. I think that was the intent, at least a little in the beginning. But I think Arjun Mathur also is a great crier. Like when he breaks down, your heart breaks. You know, he has this way of crying, which is just he'll just give up, you know, and his body, you know, just crumbles. And Vikrant Masa and Heath, they somehow have the best moments across both seasons, I feel.
Yeah.
Like when he's talking about his mother, and as you said, that, you know, the fact that he says that you don't have to love, you know, like someone you
like someone
love.
You
and I feel that the whole theme of parents dictating their children's life or influencing them or just having a sort of toxicity is a larger theme in the show. I think, like, the show, you know, Arjun's father, with Arjun's mother, then there's Shobhita's mother, obviously. Then, of course, there's a Jim Saab character who realizes that his father had a child he had no idea about. Then there's Shashank's father, who obviously looks down on him, has not much faith in the child's credibility. I would have really liked this to be more pronounced. Like, I would have really liked this personal equation, because I feel it was coming together in some way. But it just crystallized very well in that Arjun Mathur episode, also because he was so very good. But except that, I could see that there was an arc happening, but it never came together for me. And I feel that for a show like this, if they had really focused on that relationship of the child and the parent, then probably it would have been a better show than just like ticking off things they wanted to resolve.
Yeah. So, speak a little about, like, I think your favorite character, Vijay Raj's character in this season as well, because of course we saw a little bit of Jauhari last season, where the message basically was, don't judge a book by his cover, because he was more of a gangster character who turned out to have a better heart than, say, the rich characters in the series. And he is also rich himself, and it's also implied that he's shady, and that he's not come from money, he's earned his money by various means. And just a little bit about his character, because I think it's lovely the way a lot of Zoya Akhtar men are written over her career over filmography. And it's always nice to see when someone is cast against type, and that too, like, it's like the Gulshan Devaya character in Dahad, right?
I think also, like, the first instance of someone like Vijay Raj, because he comes across as a very scruffy businessman who obviously is very shady, because in the first season he was I think there was a moment when Arjun Mathur's character comes and says, you know, I want to teach someone a lesson. He was like, yeah, you tell me, what should I break, the hand or the leg? And with a very straight Vijay Raj face. So you realize that this man is really shady and, you know, scary in a way. And then come the second season, and he just reveals to be like this very tender-hearted man. And which is, as you said, like cast against type, because we have seen him in Gully Boy, which is also directed by Zoya Akhtar. And he was an absolute opposite of who he was in this season. And there is also there's something about like Vijay Raj, I think the way he talks, the way his face is, that, you know, he was like saying the most tender things with absolute like devout seriousness on his face. Like there's a moment which makes it even more adorable. Like, there is a scene when they are in France for the celebrity wedding, and Mona Singh, his wife, the, you know, she plays his wife, Bulbul Jhori, in the show, and she calls and Vijay Raj is like, and you know, his hand gesticulating, and he was like, "Hum log foreign mein jayenge vacation ke liye." And she was like, "Yeah, but khana acha nahi, cancel." It's just very nice the way that what he says and how he says, there is a very big gap. And that just adds to the tenderness of his character. And I would have really, really liked to see characters written like this more in this season. I think he, for me, was the benchmark of a good, well-written character. Because there's so much, he had so much surprises up his sleeve. You just didn't know what to expect from a guy like that, you know. And I would have really liked to see more such depth in this season, which I felt there was a severe lack of.
Yeah, that's the thing about his character, because of who Vijay Raj is and because of the way he's been cast across his career and because of how many things he does well, and he's cast as this scruffy character who always make us laugh whatever he does because of that poker face of his. It's just when he is this progressive sort of husband who is also obviously a Delhi businessman involved in shady businesses, but he loves his wife to death. You can see that he would do anything. He always stands behind her, never in front of her. He will always sort of support her in the household. And when he says something like, you know, your mother is a very busy businesswoman, he actually means it. He's not condescending on her like a working man might on a woman after she has kids. He actually means it. You can see it on his face. And he's not being woke. He's not being performative when he's woke. You know, he actually means these things because we find out about their backstory much later, that he rescued her from her own abusive husband and he was responsible for getting her out of it. So there was never any romantic undertone between them in the beginning. He was her, almost her friend who sort of helped her get out of something, which reminded me a little of Shefali Shah's character in Darlings, you know. It was that sort of arc, and given that he had seen already so much of her and seen the worst of what she's gone through, I felt like it was almost platonic, their relationship as a husband and wife. And they were more friends because of that. And you could see that comfort on Vijay Raj's face and that respect for her, because he's seen her get out of something he's never seen most women get out of. And that's why when he says things, like he had this lovely line even in the last season when towards the end, I think he tells Jim Sarb's character, when Jim Sarb is basically taunting Tara and Karan for losing money and not having enough profits during the investment meeting. You know, Vijay Raj just out of nowhere is like, you know, be a little gentle. The guy has just come back from jail and here you are taunting him. Bacha abhi jail se aaya, because I think Arjun Mathur's character was just jailed he had just come back. And that's all he said. And that's when you could get a beautiful sense of that humanity. And I think we were just talking about Stanley Tucci in Julie and Julia recently. And he just reminded me of, again, you know, the sort of beta male husband who actually means what he says. And it's very aspirational in a sense, but also you'd like to believe it's very real. Like, you know, in Schitt's Creek, the husband. And these little things make you a little more sad that Made in Heaven didn't follow through with their strengths, like a Vijay Raj character, or like or even his wife, or Mona Singh, or you know, is there any episode for you that first of all was your favorite and Made in Heaven lived up to their sort of image in those episodes, or lived up to your expectations in that episode, and what was the most cringy episode for you?
I'll tell you, but can I just take 2 more minutes to speak about Vijay Raj, just while you were saying? So, as you said, you know, it's a platonic relationship. You also realize, even though the show never makes a big deal out of it, you realize that the wealth he has earned has a lot to do with the fact that the Mona Singh character is a good businesswoman.
Yeah.
Because when he sends her as the audit person, he says that, abhi bulbul aaye hai, so, you know, you will earn money. You will never lose money. So that respect has a lot for her. He understands that the money he enjoys, the wealth he enjoys, has a lot to do with the fact that his wife has the acumen for it. And I'll tell you, at the beginning, even before we see their interpersonal relationship, in season 2, there is one scene where basically Arjun is saying that we have to hire a new production designer, and that's how the Meher character comes.
Yeah.
And when Vijaya sees how much they are paying her, and he was like, so this is how much you're paying. And Arjun Mathur's character immediately cuts in to say that we will figure it out. And he was like, no, I like a woman who knows her worth. And he, even then, he's scruffy. And he just says it so well. And I was so gobsmacked when it happened, because I expected him to, because he was cutting costs before that, I expected him to say that she's charging way too much, or worse, even like be conditioned towards her in his behavior. There was none of it. And it didn't even come as performative. You realize that this man is this person. Okay, now my Vijaya's rant is over. So my favorite episode was the fourth episode, which is the Zoya Akhtar, Rima Kakti. They both did the episode together, which, as I mentioned earlier, it's about the celebrity wedding. It's a lot more fun because we are seeing it happen so much, where, you know, the two superstars are getting married. They're fighting over, their managers are fighting over hashtags. And, you know, it's a world Zoya understands too well, like luck by chance. You know, she knows this world, she knows the quirks, and she can just laugh at it without making the person realize that we are laughing at them, you know. So there is this, there's very like throwaway instances where they are basically rehearsing the exchanging of vows moment, and there's a cameraman who's clicking photo, and the actress just cuts in and says, ye horror film nahi hai, low angle se mat khicho. And it's just so funny. Like, it's just so funny because it's something so innocuous. It comes out of nowhere. And, like, also obviously the Anurag Kashyap, you know, the inclusion and the Khan happening at that time. And I really liked how Zoya milked that, Zoya and Rima, they milked that premise we are so familiar with, which is like become a pop culture staple of celebrity wedding, to make so many comments about how age, you know, plays such a huge role still. How male actors refuse to be cast opposite women who are probably younger than them. Still, they feel that they shouldn't do it because it makes them look older. How they always want to be cast again opposite as young a woman as possible. And, you know, these were done with such lightness of touch. Like, there was no moment I felt the show was talking down at me. It was fun and games. Just how generally Zoya Akhtar's brand of filmmaking has come to be. And that was the only episode where I felt like this is what I expected Made in Heaven 2 to be.
Yeah.
And the cringy one, there were moments which I cringed a bit, lot, mostly because of Shashank Arora's voiceovers. But I think the last episode really did it for me. Like, I just could not, because, you know, you know, Sara Diaz, I think she was cast, and the episode was obviously an older woman getting married to a younger man, and he gets cold feet, and then he obviously had other aspiration. So they have a very mutually, they sit down and decide that they will not get married, and she's fine with it. And then, so the whole scene comes that, you know, Shobhita's character comes and asks, what should we tell the guest? And she looks at her and says, nothing. And just there was an alarm bell in my head, and I'm like, shit, this looks like some wedding ad for Women's Day.
Yeah.
You know, this is not going down well. And then she goes and gets married to herself. See, there are 100 ways of doing it, okay? Like, there are 100 ways of showing this woman will not let someone else control her happiness, her fate, which is great. I get it. But the way it was done was just too much. Like, and honestly, I feel like, you know, these have become such easy ways to please, because come every Women's Day or a Valentine's Day, we see advertising agencies going against the type to make woke ads. So you have to really go out of your way to show that this is not an ad. This is not a 15 seconds thing. This is storytelling. It has to be more than that. But anyway, yes. What were your, if I ask you the same question, what would be your favorite?
I have the exact same answers. And it's a good point about the ad culture also right now, because a lot of the ads are now online, obviously, less television and more online sort of advertising. A lot of ads get very creative and they have to be woke. A lot of it is performative wokeness. You can see the marketing, you can see the sort of Excel sheets, and you can see the formulas in a lot of ads, even though they are witty, even though they are smart. You can see that they are trying very hard to be woke to sort of attract the youth and the liberal youth, which is a good thing. You know, it's a... And Zoya and her team here, you know, I have no problem with the kind of things, the kind of messages they want to give, even if it comes from a high horse, you know, even if it comes from sitting in Banda and saying, okay, these are the problems with India right now. This is how regressive this family can be. This is how regressive this person can be. This is how men can be hypocrites. This is how they can be toxic and good at the same time. Sure, okay, you make a whole chart of all of that. But, you know, as you said, there has to be more to an episode than just sort of presenting a conflict and solving it. Presenting a conflict, it shouldn't be enough to say that, look, we pointed out the right issues with society, or that we are liberals and we are we made a political statement against right-wing mentality or against right-wing sort of bigotry. It shouldn't be enough anymore, right? You need to hold them to higher standards. Otherwise, what's the difference between both sides? So if we do go around criticizing, you know, say right-wing films or right-wing shows for their craft and for how unsophisticated and unsubtle and blatant and shameless they are, there's no reason we shouldn't hold, you know, the other side to the same standard of craft and storytelling. And a balance is very difficult, you know, like it's a reason the Hirani films used to do well back in the day. But I can bet you that those same films released now, they'd be very cringy. A lot of those lessons would feel like, you know, the film is judging us rather than the other way around. So I think that's exactly what's happened with Made in Heaven 2. It's crossed the line without really knowing it and becoming these PSAs and advertisements for liberal India. And I don't think there's enough depth, as you said, to you know, most of the writing in it.
You were saying?
Go on. No, go on.
I feel like exactly what you said. In my head, if there is one parameter, it is that if I'm holding an Akshay Kumar film to a certain standard, that, you know, you can't just talk down on me and say this is right. I will do that for another film whose politics might be different, but at the end of the day, the medium is the same, right? So also, like, there has to be a difference between a film with, or a show which has its politics in the right place, and something which does it well. Like, for instance, the Anurag Kashyap's That Almost Pyar with DJ Mohabbat, it didn't work for me at all, because even though it said absolutely the right thing, something I believe in as a person, as a writer, as a journalist, but while watching it, I felt like it was an op-ed. So then, why am I watching this? Then I could read an essay by him if he wanted to say. So I think that somewhere down the line, bad politics for me is a deal breaker. No questions asked. But I also feel that even if the politics is correct, that it can't be, it's too easy a shorthand to earn brownie points from.
That's a fair point. And is there anything else we'd like to discuss in about Made in Heaven season 2?
But I just wanted to know that, you know, what did you think of the way Tara and Karan's relationship evolved this season? Because I really like the way it started, where they shared a space. And I liked the way it concluded, where Vikram Mase's character basically says that, you know, na, she's your wife. And I feel that was the point the show was trying to arrive at, that they are very platonic husband-wife relationship. But I feel in between, they lost me, at least as a viewer. What did you make of it?
Yeah, so they had a Cold War sort of situation in between, obviously, because Karan went through his sort of gambling and drug sort of addiction again. So he obviously stole money from the company. I was expecting far more than just a Cold War and them sort of dividing or them working separately in the company. I was almost expecting Karan to be fired from the company and their friendship to end. But, you know, I like the fact that they didn't take the easy way out or the shortcuts, because I remember at the beginning, I was like, when Shobhita was falling for a new guy, a chef, I was almost expecting, because I'm conditioned to seeing, you know, these the gay best friend trope so many times, I was almost expecting them both to fall for the same guy at some point of time in the series. So it's nice that they didn't take those shortcuts or those easy way outs. And the Cold War that happened for a few episodes in between, I think that worked for me, because eventually when they do make up, it's when Karan's mother dies and at the funeral, basically. And that was very moving for me to see, because most of the time it's always a death or a funeral that makes the rest of our problem seem so small and so petty. And I think that's what the writing got right about their relationship too, that sure, they had a big fallout and sure, they don't know where they stand, and they started leading separate lives in between. Karan left to live with his boyfriend because he couldn't get along with her anymore. But you knew that it was more of a rebound almost from Tara, that he was going to live with his new boyfriend. He wasn't ready to live in with someone, but he did go because he had a fight with Tara. And when he comes back, I like it that they still don't talk for a while until his mother dies. And that's always a sobering thing, like whether you're estranged with your parents or your relatives or your partner or whatever it is. And when someone leaves, I love seeing friends. There's something about it that I love seeing friends drop everything to be there for another person. And that's when your friendship is at its purest, right? Like, and that's what I saw with Tara and Karan, even in this season, as much as we saw it in the last season. I like the fact that she drops everything, drops all her anxieties and her worries and her petty problems with him. And the way he just says that, can you just forgive me? What do you need? Can you just forgive me? That's really well acted and very moving. And I'm a sucker for, you know, friends who leave everything for each other. You know, God knows, because we don't have maybe enough friends like that in the real world enough, because we are so busy with our own lives that we tend to move on. And when something major happens in our lives, we fall out of touch with our friends. So to see friends through thick and thin like that, it sort of transcended the gay best friend trope. It transcended the fact that there's this divorcee and a gay man living together and they are actually husband and wife platonically. So I kind of like where the arc went. It moved me towards the end, and it sort of paid off very well at the funeral, at his mother's funeral. So, you know, even though Karan, like even though Arjun Mathur is much better actor than Shobhita, I just felt like they fed off each other quite well. Even if the first season established them better, I think it was fine where it ended as well.
Just remember that scene, and it was incredible. I think also it has so much to do with Arjun Mathur crying. Just like the way he breaks down and he just says that, you know, that, yeah, can you forgive me? But I also felt like the whole him taking money from the company, it came to him as a last resort, even though nothing came out of it, which I felt was like a bit of a cheat. The way, like a narrative cheat almost, because you could see him that he was trying to do everything else to arrange the money other than take money from the company. And when he does that, there are no repercussions. And I felt like there's just obviously one confrontation with Shobhita's character, but I felt like the show was a bit too, I don't know, it just didn't want to go there for some reason. Like, I would have really liked them to be more cruel with each other, because that also shows how far they have come together and how intimately they know each other. So I think for me that didn't add up in my head, but the last bit, the mother's the funeral, that scene was incredible. It's just so much to do with Arjun Mathur as an actor, and you know, I really hope that he gets cast more often because he's so incredible.
Yeah, and I really like that, you know, there's not that usual nonsense controversy discourse going on saying, why is a heterosexual actor playing a gay character? And why is he being so good at it? Why can't you give opportunities to actual gay actors? I mean, you have to like look around and smell the coffee, because how many artists are even encouraged to come out of the closet in public and in a country like this? And even if they acknowledge they are gay, it's very difficult for them to sort of lead a normal life in this society. So you have to, I mean, like I've always had a problem with that like line of thought, that argument that just because it's a gay character, it has to be a gay character playing it. Even though they did it very well with a trans woman in this, I don't think the same holds true for all identities in terms of acting. And I think Arjun Mathur, it's not the first time he's played a gay character, and that's not to say it's the last time he's going to play it. But there's something about the way, as you said, the angst and the way he sort of represents trauma. Of say someone of millennial trauma, basically in their 30s or 20s or rejection, trauma of rejection, that it transcends also, you know, the sexual identity of those characters. It really reveals him as someone, as Karan, as someone very human and rejected all his life and gone through his fair bit of, and not even likable by the end of it, you know, only all he has is Tara at the end of the day. So yeah, it's always nice to see Arjun Mathur get these roles and make the most of them, and people not just whining about the fact that you know, he's not gay in real life. So yeah. It was a.
I get the debate. But also I get that, you know, why, you know, probably Arjun Mathur was cast because there has to be a space for acting also, and he was so good at it. And what you said, that how he transcends the labels of his identity to become like a person, and precisely this is my problem with the other representation in the show, where I feel like the Meher character, she was reduced to the very identity the show wanted us to see us, and us to see her without.
You know,
every time she just became a trans woman, like a means of representation, a means of educating us, which, and because probably Arjun Mathur's character was in the first season, which just goes on to show that how the first season was, you know, like, sorry to repeat myself, but a superior one, you know, more well thought out. So,
That's anything else on your mind? I think we've done a fair bit of analysis of Made in Heaven season 2.
I'm a bit flabbergasted with people liking it, because I have nothing against it. I'm just very curious. Why? Because also it's a show that demands a lot of interest. It's a long show. But I feel it's a good instance of sorts, you know, like probably I feel a lot of people are liking it because they want to like it, because the first season was so incredible. So I feel like it's a good precedent of sorts that if you do your one season well, probably you have an audience ready for it. And they waited for like 4 years, which is saying something in today's time and age. So I hope if they do come up with the third season, honestly, I kind of think and hope that they don't. I just feel that they should.
I don't think like I've ever had such a difference of opinion between two seasons. The first season I really liked, and the second season I disliked quite a bit. So it's never happened before, because this is, as we said, a show that's very easy to like because of how progressive we are mostly, or because of our politics, and it's very easy to like in that sense. But you have to look at it beyond that at some point. I guess in 2019, maybe it was a different India, different world also, pre-pandemic world. So I guess the idea of having a show like that was very attractive, and I think a lot of us fell in love with the show because of that. But maybe now that's not enough, and I think that's what's happened with us. We wanted to like the show, and I'm still very much attached to the characters of the show, and I really love some of the characters, but I don't think I like the series works for me, especially this time around. And it's weird, because as I said, it's never happened before that there's been such a different sort of stance in the second season. Normally, shows tend to be a little more consistent. And even if it's slightly not as good as the original or the first season, there's always a degree of likability about it. But this time, I guess, it's a good thing, because it makes for some divided opinions and some good discourse also out there. Otherwise, you know, just wanting to like the show for what it represents, then it gets very like preaching to the choir kind of discourse, and it's better that we have varied opinions. So it's been an interesting few days.
And I think it has a lot to do with the fact that from 2019 to 2023 we had some incredible work on streaming, especially on streaming. So I think we are also, our tastes have been refined in a way, so have our expectations, and a lot of it, you know, Zoya and Reema, they are responsible for it, because of how good Dahar was also. So I feel like that also has played a part in how our expectations have altered when it came to the second season. But as you said, like, there are some characters which are very close to my heart. Like, Tara is one of the most compelling female characters on streaming right now, and there are some scenes even from season 2 which I will not forget, and that's saying something.
I guess that's about it for our podcast of Made in Heaven season 2. Do watch the show. Do write into us if you have any opinions. If you love the show, hated it, didn't like, whatever it is, do read our reviews. Mine's on filmcompanion.in and Ishita's is on OTT Play. If you have any suggestions, feel free. Don't feel shy to write into us. And we'll be back soon discussing another release. Thank you for listening, and do watch the show, of course.